You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Well, here I am again. This is not your typical episode. Not by any means. This is a episode where I am celebrating the 2-year birthday of Banzai Retro Club. And so that's it. We're in the terrible twos now. We're not quite the baby anymore. We're probably considered a toddler. So being 2 years old now, that means we're going to be a little rambunctious. We're going to have our terrible twos now, and you as a listener just have to deal with it. We're going to throw some tantrums. If we haven't tried to potty train us yet, it's going to be a little challenging at this stage in the game. But we may poop in our pants. I'm not saying that I haven't done that before, but it may happen again within this next year. So that's all on you, the listener, if you haven't tried to potty train your Banzai Retro Club podcast yet. So here we are. This is the second year now of having this podcast out in the wild and available to you, the listener. So what I wanted to do was I'm going to drop this episode on September 10th, which will mark our 2-year anniversary of our first 4 episodes that were posted. My thought process on this specific episode is going to just give you a lot of information about stuff of the podcast that you may not know, and just give a little more background on, the way things came to be for Banzai Retro Club. So this is kind of my version of the stories of things. I don't know if you were to ask Rose and Scott if you would get a different flavor of the story. So what I want to do is start off with kind of some facts and figures, just so you see where we're at currently right now as far as the podcast. And then I'm going to go into kind of a frequently asked questions, which isn't really true as a frequently asked questions, but just stuff that I was thinking of. So things that I thought that you might find interesting. And I'm going to intermingle some stuff, some retro influences that are important to me, and the kind of things that have had some significance as far as the thought processes and the life blood of this podcast, at least from my perspective. So that's kind of my thought process of how this episode is going to go down. If that's not your flavor of vodka, which I know I've said before, then that's cool. I understand that you want to jump into like a true retro topic. That's awesome. We've got plenty of episodes for you to choose from. Go ahead and do that. But if you are interested in getting a little bit more information of Banzai Retro Club, the origin story, and some current stats and figures, which will be dated by the time you listen to this, then continue to listen. So let's go ahead and get started. We'll insert our bumper here.
birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Daniel Shan. Happy birthday to you.
Okay? I mean, it's really been a shitty birthday for me. No offense, but I don't need a serenade right now.
What's wrong? You didn't get anything good, or?
I didn't get shit. Not even a happy birthday. My whole family just sort of blew it off.
I'd freak if my family forgot my birthday.
It's a brand new year. I'm 16. Everything should be platinum. I should be happy, right? Right?
Yeah.
Well, I can't get happy. It is physically impossible for me to get happy.
You should see that toast. I couldn't even get it through the door.
Hey, this is Dave, and this is Banzai Retro Club. That is not our typical bumper, but it's going to be the one that I just put together for the purposes of our two-year birthday of the podcast. So I wanted to get in the festive mindset of, you know, having a two-year-old birthday for the podcast. So, like I had said at the intro part of this, is my plan is to post this on September 10th, which is going to be Tuesday on 2019, and that's going to mark our two-year anniversary or birthday of Banzai Retro Club. And what I'm gauging by the birthday is when our first four episodes had posted. Now, back in 2017, what we did was we had, previous to posting any episodes, we had recorded four episodes altogether. Maybe not in the same night, but we had recorded them and decided not to post them until we had at least that number of content to post. So what we posted on September 10th, 2017, was episode one, Meet the Host. And that was with Scott, Rose, myself, and we just basically did a overall, here's what we think Banzai Retro Club will become and kind of our vision for it. Episode one was our top three 1970s movies. So in that case, Rose, Scott, and myself, we talked about our favorite 1970s movies, you know, each of us having a top three. In episode two, we talked about our top three 1980s music albums. So once again, the three of us talking about which albums were, you know, our favorites for the decade. And then episode number three, which was our top three 1990s TV shows. So what we wanted to do by releasing all four of those episodes at once is basically give new listeners the chance to get to know us, which was the Meet the Host episode, and then also kind of set the groundwork for what we were going to have as kind of an ongoing podcast format. So the game plan being was that, you know, we would obviously be covering 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, as we have said that that's what we're going to do. But the thought process is that we're going to spend a lot of focal points on movies, music, and TV shows. I feel that we've done a great job with the movies and music, and maybe not so much on the TV shows. We do have some TV show content that's been posted, but I think we could probably do that a little bit better. So outside of that, I think as far as being able to cover those three decades, we probably are heavy-handed on the 1980s, and we realize that. Scott and I have had this conversation where we do feel that we're a little heavy-handed with that specific decade, and that is just by nature of our comfort level. I think that we, because we had a show before that was concentrated on the 1980s, it has just by proxy been kind of a focal point for us and where we like to live. So it's not that we don't enjoy doing 70s, 90s. We just seem to have found our niche with the 80s, and that's kind of where we've been centered a lot of times on, because a lot of great things came out of the 80s, and I don't think any of you can blame us for that. But originally our thought process was, well, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to get into that part yet. Let me back up and kind of set up what I was going to talk about. I had pulled some stats for the podcast, and what I wanted to do is give you kind of a quick snapshot as to how we're doing for the lifeblood that is the podcast. And I don't think I'll share a story a little bit later about how these numbers are all well and good, but I don't think that they're at all should be kind of a focal point for what we're trying to do. But just for the state of affairs, called the State of the Union for the Bonsai Retro Club podcast, on Twitter right now we have 2,288 followers. On the Podbean app, the Podbean website, which is the host for our podcast, it says that we have 8,056 total downloads since we started. We have 356 subscribers or followers on Podbean. Total reviews on iTunes, we have 25 of those. The total episodes that we have at this given moment, when you listen to this, it's going to be 132. When I'm recording this, it's 130. So we're going to have a new episode that's going to post on Monday, and then I'll count this episode that I'm talking about right now as the next one, so that's going to be 132. Of those 132 episodes, 35 of them fall under the branch of the Essential Movies podcast. And then that's, if you've been following along, I found that list on Rotten Tomatoes, and I've been doing an individual episode for each one of those Essential 1980s movies. Of those, we've had three celebrity interview podcast episodes. Stan Bush being one, and then Diane Franklin being two of them. Diane Franklin was returning celebrity guest, where we had asked her to watch the movie To Be Unnamed, Forbidden Zone. And we watched Terrorvision, And so we decided to go again and give our review of those respective movies. The Icon episodes that we've done so far, we've done Burt Reynolds, Mel Brooks, Harry Dean Stanton, and I kind of did my flavor of that with Christy McNichol. We recorded two protologies. Oh, that's tough to say. And these were kind of trilogy episodes of the podcast that we decided to record. We did the Star Wars, where we covered A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. And then we did that with Indiana Jones, where we talked about Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, and The Last Crusade. So these are all episodes that are in our library for you to go back to and listen to. At this point, what I wanted to do is give you a little break from the monotonous tone of my voice, which I hope you don't mind too much, but you're listening, so I'll take it. But there's been a song that I really have enjoyed, and I think it encapsulates so much about the how I feel about the podcast that we do, because it's all about some retro goodness. Now, it's a country song, so I want you to just bear with me on this, but it's a wonderful song. It's called 19 Something by Mark Wills.
Had the Pac-Man pattern memorized, and I've seen the stuff they put inside Stretch Armstrong, yeah. Well, I was Roger Staubach in my backyard, had a shoebox full of baseball cards and a couple of Evel Knievel scars on my right arm. Well, I was a kid when Elvis died, and my mama cried. It was 1970-something in the world that I grew up in. Farrah Fawcett hairdo days, bell bottoms and 8-track tapes. And looking back now, I can see me. Oh man, did I look cheesy. But I wouldn't trade those days for nothing. Oh, it was 1970-something. The dawning of a new decade, we got our first microwave. Dad broke down and finally shaved the most sideburns off. I took the stickers off of my Rubik's Cube, watched MTV all afternoon. And my first love was Daisy Duke and them cut-off jeans. The space shuttle fell out of the sky, and the whole world cried. Skating rinks and black Trans Ams, big hair and parachute pants. And looking back now, I can see me. And oh man, did I look cheesy. I wouldn't trade those days for nothing. Oh, it was 1980-something. Now I got a mortgage and an SUV, but all this responsibility makes me wish sometimes. It was 1980-something in the world that I grew up in. Skating rinks and black Trans Ams, big hair and parachute pants. And looking back now, I can see me. Oh man, did I look cheesy. I wouldn't trade those days for nothing. It was 1980-something, 1970-something, 19th son.
A few questions that I don't think have been asked, but I'm going to throw this out there anyway, just in case you're curious. There's a few things that I thought, you know, were kind of interesting, and something that, you know, you may have thought to ask, but never did. So question, where did the dog logo come from? And why the dog? So put simply, there was, I came across an extra few bucks, and I had discovered the app Fiverr.com. That's Fiverr.com. And I found that there's a lot of resources on that website that has on-demand professionals that have various skills, like a graphic artist, that you can contact and have them and pay them to create different things like a logo, or if you wanted website work, etc., etc. So I decided to reach out and see what would be possible for getting a logo done for the podcast. So I didn't have the dog concept in mind. I just basically gave a very loose, generalized description of saying, hey, I want to have a retro, you know, we have retro podcasts, and so I wanted something to incorporate that. So the first version of it was basically just a very, it was a bold, simple design, but had like the old retro microphone, you know, it's kind of a thing. And it said, you know, the nice title, Bonsai Retro Club. But I really had, I've always been a fan of, you know, the logos that have like a mascot or a cartoony kind of look to them. So I was like, you know, I really wanted a mascot. And that's fact, the reason why I had picked that specific graphic artist was that, you know, a lot of the catalog that she had online that she was advertising showcased kind of a cartoon kind of look. But you know, that's not what she had delivered to me. But then again, I hadn't given her any kind of direction, so she didn't know that's what I was looking for. So the feedback I gave to her was like, you know, this is what I'm looking for. And for lack of another concept, I had said, you know, is it possible that my oldest dog, Penny, you know, could you put her in as, you know, the logo mascot? So she did that. And then we started enhancing the idea. And then that started turning into sunglasses, the aviator sunglasses, the bomber jacket that looks kind of like a Top Gun kind of a flight jacket. And that's how that kind of evolved. So it started with kind of a very vague concept, and then it evolved into being my dog Penny in a Top Gun aviator flight jacket. So that's the story behind our logo. And there wasn't really a lot of, you know, thought process around what it was I was looking for until it started evolving, you know, going down that road of having that kind of a cartoon mascot. And I absolutely love it. I actually love the logo. So did a very good job. She did wonderful. I had given her the, there's like an option to give like a tip. So I did do that. So very happy with that. Next question, where did the podcast name come from? This was actually kind of a fun little bit that there was a exchange between Rose, Scott, and I of trying to come up with the namesake of what would now be Bonsai Retro Club. And I'm pretty sure it was my influence of getting Bonsai in there. I wanted something that had a little pizzazz. And I've always been a fan of the movie Buckaroo Banzai, and I think they were thinking Karate Kid Banzai. Regardless, that part kind of stuck. And then the Retro Club part is we wanted some sort of name of inclusion, you know, as far as, you know, the, you know, we're all part of the same group that is enjoying retro topics and enjoying each other. And it's kind of just a welcoming kind of vibe. So retro was obviously something that, you know, we talk about, but the club concept is what we were trying to instill. And what we were hoping was that over the course of the life of the podcast and the website is that we would start getting more people that would be regular contributors and collaborators. So therefore being more of a club environment. None of those have been, have stuck. We've had people that kind of jumped in and helped out with certain things, but it's nothing that really, you know, other than the core people that originally started was Rose and Scott and myself. That's really kind of the heart of what's been sticking with the Retro Club. What you don't know is that on our Twitter feed, we have a closed message group with people that we share content with each other, and we share whenever we post something new, we share that content with the rest of our followers. And so that's been more of the club environment that I was kind of, you know, kind of trying to instill. So that's kind of where the name came from. Short show format concept. So that was basically a question there. You know, can I explain the show content, you know, or the format? And like I mentioned before, is that we want to talk about 70s, 80s, and 90s. And the content being that of specifically movies, TV shows, and music. And as I was mentioning, you know, things have been kind of heavy-handed with music and movies, not so much TV shows, and probably a little more heavy-handed on the 80s side. So that is the thought process. That's why when you listen to our podcast and you get to a topic that is specifically 70s, like a movie that was made in the 70s, you'll get a different bumper after we do like a little pre-chat, then you do the 80s or 90s. So we had the original concept of being a 70-something, 80-something, and 90-something format. So when you listen to, let me give you a good example. The episode that was just posted, that's going to post for me tomorrow, but you would have heard it by now, Grease, you would have gotten the 70-something bumper versus when you're listening to Pulp Fiction, you would have gotten the 90-something bumper. So I hope that makes sense. Every time you hear the Essential Movies episodes, they're all 80s, so you're going to hear the 80s bumper every time. So that's kind of the format concept, and that's kind of the way we had kind of laid it out as far as what we want to get going with, the way the episodes would be. So can I explain the episode numbers? And this is a little more complicated because I did say that we have 132 episodes, but you'll see that we had maybe episode 75, I think, is posting as Grease. And then we have numbers going down on the Essential Movies. So this gets really complicated. The thought process was as we were going into the regular episodes of 1970s, 1980s, and 1990s, we started going up with our numbers. So we're going episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, etc., etc. Then we introduced this concept of a flip side episode. And then we were going to not include numbers on that because it wasn't specific to 70s, 80s, 90s. It could have encapsulated other parts of other decades. And then the essential movies list is going backwards from 140 to 1. So we have a lot of different numbers that are going on and around, and it's really a little bit confusing. And the whole flip side episode thing is I started with the best of intentions of not numbering them, but after we did so many of them, I was like, screw it. They really should be a traditional episode, and they should be numbered. Even though we may use a different bumper, which we do have a flip side bumper, we should still number those. And so you would have heard by now certain episodes being, even though they weren't numbered before, they are numbered now. So that's the reason why we have such a really complicated numbering for episodes. And so when you're looking at them, you go like, why are we counting down on the essential movies? Why are, these episodes counting up? Why, when they have, it shows that they have 130 episodes, why am I only on episode 75? So that's the reason why we have this weird, wacky, outlying kind of a deal. So I wanted you to understand that you're not the one that screwed up. It was us. I'm sorry for any confusion. Just keep following along, and hopefully you'll, it doesn't matter with the episode numbers. That was just us trying to be fancy and making something a little more complicated than it had to be. So what I want to do now is I'm going to actually insert something that's been very influential with me from the beginning of the first podcast that I did, which was 80s Reboot Overdrive over at Southgate Media Group. And our very first episode was about the very iconic Thundercats. So I'm going to insert the theme music here, because that's kind of the kickoff of my whole podcasting career, if you want to call it a career. So let me put that in here. So now I'm going to move on to what I call our podcast origin story. And I'll try to give a condensed version of this because I think that it's available out there, and I think several of us have told the story, but for the sake of this 2-year birthday episode, maybe it warrants being told again. So, what had happened was, back in 2014, I had a friend at work, and he had friends that he went to church with, and he got invited to this event that was part of this Wizard World in Chicago. And anybody that's ever been to these are basically comic book conventions and various media icons that, have autograph sessions and whatnot. So there was this media group, these two wonderful people that have their own media group called the Southgates, and they had an open invite for him to come. He knew that I was really into geeky stuff, mainly, you know, like comic books and Batman. So he's like, you know, this is really more your wheelhouse. I'm planning on going, but if you want to come with me, that'd be cool. I'd be like, oh, that's awesome. So fast forwarded to that evening, something came up where he had a at-home emergency and he couldn't make it. So I was just basically at the event by myself. And I got to talking to Rob and Martha, and they were very welcoming to the concept of just anytime somebody had a something that they wanted to share with the world, something creative, they would give you a platform, give you an outlet to it. And I thought that was just an absolute wonderful message, and it was something that I felt that I was missing in my life. But not knowing a lot about podcasting at the time, I was like, you know what? I really don't think I can do podcasting. I just, it's not something that that's not me. I'll do a blog. You know, is that okay if I do a blog? And they'd be like, yeah, definitely. So I started to do a blog kind of reviewing Batman toys, which is something that I had a collection of. And so I started to do the review of toys, and in the back of my brain was like, oh, I'm going to do this because maybe someday in the future they'll, you know, whoever manufactures these toys would send me free toys, and then I can write reviews about them and, you know, by proxy get free stuff. Well, that never really happened, and I got bored with the topic of reviewing toys that I had already owned because I wasn't really going out and buying new stuff. I was like, well, all right, well, I don't know if this is something that's really going to stick. And I started to listening to the podcasts that they had available on their channel. And as I was listening to the different shows, I was like, this is definitely something I can do myself. I can definitely jump into this world and be able to provide content. And it sounded interesting to me. So I started mulling around the concept of doing a show, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And somehow my brain landed on the concept of a 1980s themed podcast. So once I had the theme of the podcast, I had reached out, of course, to Rob, and he was like all for it. And we collaborated on the logo. I think I even proposed the name 80s Reboot Overdrive, and he's like, yep, we'll go with that. And so then the 80s Reboot Overdrive, over the course of the time that I was doing it, really became a labor of love. You know, I got into learning how to edit the podcast. I really just jumped all into doing the marketing, a lot of, you know, getting the legs underneath it for social media. And after doing that for quite a while, I was like, you know, I'm really kind of doing, you know, most of the muscle work here. I was like, I'm wondering how hard it is to take it to the next level and have complete ownership of your own content. Because that the agreement was with them was that they owned the name 80s Reboot Overdrive because it was on their dime. It was on their network. So they own 80s Reboot Overdrive, the name, the logo, all of that is, you know, because it was on their network, it's on their dime. So it's on, you know, that's them. And so at the time that I was thinking of branching off and kind of doing my own thing, at the time I had already picked up and started doing co-hosting with Scott and Rose. So Scott had come along because the co-host that I originally were working with on 80s Reboot Overdrive, they were a little bit younger. Well, they were younger. And so there was a lot of times that they didn't have a conceptual idea of the 80s topics that we were covering. I mean, they had the overall concept, but they didn't really live through it. So it was, you could tell, it was kind of apparent. And so Scott kind of gravitated with me, and we started doing shows together, and it just made sense that Scott became a regular co-host with me. And then I started corresponding with Rose, and I think we started interacting at first with Twitter. And, you know, I could just recognize with her because she was going by the moniker on Twitter, 80s Music Girl, that, you know, this was somebody that really filled in that knowledge gap of music that, you know, I thought we were missing. And Scott was actually also my music guy too, but at that point we were just kind of the general topics for 80s Reboot Overdrive. So that's how the team got formed up. And then we decided, you know what, we're going to start our own thing. And so we did a few episodes for 80s Reboot Overdrive, which is basically our, here's the end of the road for us. We're going to be off doing our own thing, and here's, you know, what the new thing's going to be. So we gave our split, and then we started Bonsai Retro Club, which, as you can tell, started, you know, with the new episode September 2017. So that gives you the background as far as what, you know, where we got, how we got here to Bonsai Retro Club. And now 2 years later. Hope that was interesting for you. I'm sorry I stumbled through it. I tried to make it as condensed as I could. I hope it was interesting. something else I wanted to cover about lessons I've learned about trying to chase download numbers. And this is kind of an interesting concept. Was that at the beginning I was really into the download numbers. And in fact, I've been kind of that way now. But from a fun perspective, because I have easy access to all the download numbers, whereas before I waited for like a monthly report from the Southgates to find out how we were doing on the other podcast. But, I keep an eye on it now just because it's fun to see what becomes popular with everybody. But what I was doing before was that I would have a concept in my brain that when I would get somebody to do like a celebrity interview, and I would go, well, you know, I can expect, you know, if they have, you know, let's say 25,000 followers, maybe 10% of those would be listening. So I was always thinking of conceptual, you know, that concept of, you know, this person's followers or this person's social media presence would equate to X amount of downloads. And that never worked. The math never worked that way. Never, ever, 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 ever. But I had a great bad experience over the other podcast with a celebrity interview, and this is the kind of the backstory of why I think I learned not to chase download numbers. I had one celebrity person that I got to get on the show, and when I had contacted his social media secretary, she set up the meeting and I had a great conversation. It was like a good hour and a half just dialogue. And then as soon as the episode was ready and posted, she was already sending the link out on their website, on their Facebook, on the Twitter feed. So she already had, she was in charge of this guy's entire social media presence. And she had the link out way before I even sent it to her. And it, yeah, it was just a wonderful experience. It was exactly what I had hoped it would be. Then fast forward a little bit later, in that same year, I had another celebrity interview. And this one, the guy I sent the link to, you know, that was the my, you know, the celebrity himself. And I was like, you know, hey, you know, here's the link for our interview. You know, I'd really appreciate it if you do post it somewhere. Let me know where it is. That way I can go check it out and, you know, help promote your website or your social media. And then nothing. So I wait a week and then I follow up that same email. Say, hey, just in case you're out of town, you're busy, whatever. You know, it's very cordial stuff. And nothing. So I had, you know, followed up twice now, same thing. And then I waited like another 2 weeks. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to reach out one more time. If nothing happens, then I'll leave him alone. He sends me a message back to say, hey, Dave, if I would have wanted to post the content, I would have done it already. Please stop bugging me about it. Yeah, and then, you know, so I followed up immediately. I apologized for bugging him, and I was like, you know, hey, I didn't mean to be, you know, obtrusive or a pain in the ass, but is there something wrong with the interview that you didn't like? You know, because I'd like to be able to correct it, make amends here. And he basically said, no, it's just not something I think the people that follow me would be interested in hearing. And the whole interview with him was fantastic. It was a great interview. It was we talked about his, you know, his contributions to our retro culture. And, you know, he just basically kind of blew me off after that. And it was just kind of like, and then I started paying attention to his social media and I was like, okay, he's more interested in being a music historian than sharing about what he contributed into the musical universe of our lives. So now what I've learned from that is that I'm never ever going to book a guest with the thought of it's going to give me more download numbers or get us more downloads. That's never going to be entering my mind. It's about having a fun concept with that person or fun shared experience. In fact, I even had a voiceover actor that I had an interview with. And when I got done talking to him and I was like, hey, you know, do you want me to send you the link afterwards? You know, of when it's posted, he's like, no, I'll never use it. At that point, I was like, fine, it's all good. I had this great, you know, interview with this voice actor. And I thought, you know, that's all well and good. That was for me. That was for me and that was for the listener. I'm no longer expecting, you know, the celebrity guest stuff to be anything more than that moment that I get with them. If I get something where they're like, yeah, yeah, I will share this link with, you know, on my webpage, I'll share it with my Facebook, I'll share it on my Twitter. If they choose to do all that, then that's just icing on the cake that I already got to consume. So now the concept is it going to be fun? Is it going to be something that is enjoyable? And if the answer is yes, then that's what I want to do. So it's no longer chasing the download numbers. All right. So last thing I want to cover before I wrap things up is what would I like to accomplish on the show before our next Bonsai Retro Club birthday? And this one I tried to give a little more thought to, but I don't really have a strong answer. As I had alluded to before, we had the thought process of having like a collaborative kind of environment. In all honesty, right now, we're going to be shutting down the website, the Bonsai Retro Club website. You know, what the traditional website that you see now, we're going to keep it so that it goes right directly to the podcast feed website. So Bonsai Retro Club would basically go to that same link that when you're clicking the podcast link on the website, you'll just see that, and you wouldn't see all the blog content and the contact us page and all that good crap. And the reason why that we're going to go down that road is because we keep throwing money into keeping the website every year, but none of us are really paying attention or doing anything on the website. We're not really adding content. We're not adding blog content. We're not changing it up when we have new subjects and stuff like that. So the website is kind of on autopilot, and it shouldn't be. There should be somebody maintaining it. So if I had a website that was out there that everybody would go out and be like, I've got to go check to see what's new on the Bonsai Retro Club website, and there was new content that was being refreshed, that would be a reason to keep the website. What I want from before the next birthday is somehow for something magical to happen where we have fresh content and somebody maintaining the website. That's my birthday wish. I don't know if I'll actually get that, because if I don't, then I just do as I said I was going to do, which is basically shut down the traditional site and go right to the podcast feed page. Which I don't think is that horrible of a thing, because you can add widgets to it, and you can, we might be able to do like a WordPress blog or something like that off of that, as a link to on the podcast page. So I think there's ways that we can get around from, you know, to have content that's out there, but the idea of having like a full-blown, fully featured website that has fresh content is it's a beautiful thing, and we're just not doing it. We're just not, you know, it's already enough of an endeavor, you know, to do what we're doing now. So that would be what I want. As far as like, you know, the big celebrity interview that I'd love to have. And he's not even that big of a, he's big in my mind, but if I could ever, ever get Ernest Cline to say yes to being on the podcast, he is the author of Ready Player One. I would love to pick his brain for about an hour, hour and a half, or even 30 minutes if that's all he can give me. But that's another one of the things that I would really love to see happen in the next year. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I've tried to get him, because I've actually met him in person, and I've tried to, you know, get him to say yes. He gave me kind of a soft yes, but there was no follow through. He's a busy dude. I get it, right? I mean, you got all that happening. I would love to, you know, talk to more people that have contributed stuff into, you know, our 70s, 80s, and 90s lives. Be it, you know, celebrities or just people that have actually given some sort of content. I'd like to do more of those, because I always think that those are fun and interesting, and I like to have fresh perspective. So that's it. That's really kind of what I had in mind. This, as I said, is kind of our happy birthday to Bonsai Retro Club, now 2 years old. And I want to say thank you to actually a few things, a few people. First off, Rose. Even though Rose hasn't been actively on the show lately, and what you guys may not know is that she had basically reached out and said, I just need to take a break for a bit. I'll let you know when I'm ready to come back. I've been kind of poking her a little bit to find out, you know, if that's going to happen. I hope it happens sooner or later, but I think that, you know, she's open to the concept, but she's also trying to do some things where she's actually producing her, or developing her, vocal musical talent, or, you know, so that's something that she's passionate about. And I think that that's kind of becoming the focal point as to, you know, what she's got going on. So I hope she does come back to us, but if she doesn't, then she was definitely one of our founding members of Bonsai Retro Club. And so her contributions are definitely not to be trifled with. So I do appreciate what she's done. Next up, Scott. Scott has been with me as a co-host, as I said, from way back at the early days of 80s Reboot Overdrive. And now Bonsai Retro Club. And so Scott and I just have a wonderful dialogue, and he's actually becoming my best friend. He doesn't know that. I just let him know right now because he'll be listening to this podcast, because that's the way he is. And to have the ability through everything that I've been through on a professional level, as far as work, you know, having the mental outlet of being able to do this podcast on sometimes even more than a weekly basis, and being able to kind of check out of, you know, the normal responsibilities of the day and just geek out with Scott has been priceless. So thank you to him for that. And then now you, the listener, I want to thank you all for being on this ride, and I'm hoping that you continue to be on the ride. I want you all to realize that this whole podcast thing, I mean, it would be something that we would do anyway because it's fun. But because you guys continue to follow us, we continue to get more interaction on Twitter. We continue to get more interaction from you as far as, you know, like on the Podbean app, then all of that is just, it motivates us. It keeps us going. And we wouldn't be doing this without you. Even though I did just kind of contradict myself because I basically said we'd be doing it anyway. But I think that having like-minded people like yourselves that really love retro content, that does something for us. And to have dialogue with you and to say, you know what, I feel the same way you do about that movie, or I don't. I disagree with your thought processes on that movie, you know, because this movie is great because of blank, blank, blank. You know, that is what is like the way I envision Bonsai Retro Club to be is the dinner conversation or having drinks with you, our listener, and you get, and we're just sitting there and having a dialogue with you. So you're part of the equation, and I appreciate that of you. Thank you so much for being here. As I've said before many a times, be excellent to each other and have a good whatever, because I have no idea when you're going to listen to this. Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!